This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi everyone. You're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. My name is Asha Amma Asri, and welcome back! Today I have three wonderful guests with us, and I could have you guys introduce yourselves one at a time. I'll start with Caitlin beside me. You can say as much or as little as you want.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, and I'm one of the actors in Adeline's Cottage, which is premiering in The Fringe soon.
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Megan. I'm one of the actors in Patois. I also have done the makeup design for it as well.
Fun.
Kia ora, I'm Grace, and I'm another actor in Patois. I'm playing Sylvie.
Amazing. Okay, so if you guys haven't realized already, we will be talking about Fringe, yes, again, because you can never stop talking about Fringe. It's, you know, one of the best things that could probably happen in Dunedin, probably, maybe. Yes, definitely.
Agreed.
What do you guys think?
Agreed.
Totally agree.
Have you guys been to any, like, Fringe shows in the past or, like, been a part of the productions or anything like that?
I have.
You have?
My first Fringe was actually, I think, during my second year of university. I was a technical operator for Butterfly Flutter's January Burns, but
ooh.
It's been a lot. This is my first Fringe where I'm actually doing any acting.
Right.
That's a little scary.
Nah, you'll do great. I saw you during the workshop season, and it was fantastic.
Okay, well, that's good.
You sound like you don't believe me. So this is Adeline's Cottage and Patois. So I'm having you guys come in together to talk about Fringe because you guys have been doing a lot of promotions together as well as The Goon Show. And if anyone doesn't recognize The Goon Show, they came onto the show a few episodes ago. So if you missed that, just catch up on Apple Podcasts or ORFM. So explain to me, why have you guys decided to sort of like work together in that promotional sense?
So basically, we've been joined together by the incredible Jordan Wishman, who's producing all three of our shows. I think basically the decision was that because we had three student-led pieces that wanted to take their first professional step onto the stage through Fringe, that because Jordan's obviously a lot more experienced than me, Eli, Alex, Harry, that she sort of led us and she grouped us together so that we could sort of market together, work together. I think we've been describing it kind of as like a summer school system. So
over the summer, I see.
Jordan sort of showed us the ropes, and now we're all working together.
And I think also because we're all based in Elm Hall, that's where we started. So it became this kind of like just transposition of where we started, and then we're able to like now have these fully fledged shows, but still do it in our same location. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that is awesome because you get to maintain the same like origins where you guys once started, right? Like as you know, students under the university doing it for funds, and then now you're like, oh, now for real though.
We need to lock
in. Serious now.
Serious together.
No one's getting graded.
Good.
Well, by university at least.
You're getting graded by the public.
Yeah. Much better.
Yeah. Terrifying.
That makes us feel so much better.
Way more chill.
So I'll start with Patois. Could you guys tell us briefly about like what to expect with Patois, like what's it about? I know you guys, you know, have to avoid spoilers, so feel free to choose your words carefully, say as little or as much as you want. But yeah, the stage is yours.
Patois is based in 1860s France. We are essentially three ballerinas vying for prima. And honestly, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Mm-hmm. It's heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. It's sad. It's funny. But it's deeply moving. I think it was written by student playwright Penelope Hare, who has another show coming up in Fringe as well. I'm not sure if you guys have covered that already. I'm assuming you have.
Yes, Entertaining Angels Unaware. Yes. She's my director.
Cannot wait. And she's just, oh my gosh, talent extraordinaire. So this script is a beautiful thing. And yeah, since that little workshop season we did during Lunchtime Theatre, it's become very much more emotionally in-depth, I think, this time around, if you agree, Grace.
Yeah, definitely. Just about the relationships between the two girls. And I think particularly now that we've had the chance to put it back on the stage after having a bit of a break, I feel like we've discovered so many new things about the characters and the relationships between them. So it'll be the same as what people saw at Lunchtime Theatre, but also quite different, I think.
Yeah, all three of us, Grace, Ella and myself, I think we've done a lot of growth and expansion on these characters. And in the words of Jordan, like, we're going to make you cry harder this time around.
Amazing. Amazing. That's exactly what we look for in theatre.
Yeah, exactly. Crying.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, like, there's just something so nice about it, you know? Because I know it sounds like weird, like, oh, you want to cry? But, like, yes.
Kind of, yeah, like, a little bit.
You want to see other people's stories, you know, and feel that emotion run through you. And if a story is moving enough to affect you in the audience, then I guess that's a story well done. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's your goal, and I'm so pumped. So you said, so it's you two plus Ella Court.
Yes.
Directed by Jordan Wishman, and written by Penelope Hare. When is your opening night?
So it's the same night as Adeline's College, which is the 19th of March, and so we go 19th, 20th, 21st.
Awesome, at awesome, 7 p.m. awesome. Sweet. Okay, Caitlin.
My turn.
Your turn.
So Adeline's Cottage is about this character named Henry, who's played by Robert Shand, who I think you've had on before.
Yeah, we talked about vampires.
So definitely related.
for sure.
But and it takes place about 6 months after his sister passes away, who I play. I'm Adeline. Adeline. And he's sort of really tormented by grief and guilt about sort of the circumstances surrounding her death. And he returns to her cottage to try and face the things that he's been avoiding. And there is a supernatural element, like he's sort of feeling like he's being haunted, which is why my character actually gets to appear on stage.
Oh, right.
Because,
right.
Yes, I am dead.
But you haunt the narrative, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the power move. That's what you call aura?
Uh-huh, exactly. Oh.
Sorry. Oh, my God. I'm so tired. But no, genuinely, that, like, I've seen it in its workshop, like, days, and it was already so, like, raw, I think. Like, and I think a lot of people could sort of, like, relate to it, though not in a literal or extreme sense. But I know things have been changing and, like, being worked on even more because you've had, you know, a longer period of time rather than for an assignment. So,
and there's also, like, this element of, because it's written by Alex Gordy. This is, I believe, his premiere written work. And there's something so different between seeing characters on a page and seeing them, like, brought to life on stage. And I think it really gave him an opportunity to sort of think about how plays look when they're on their feet. And
right, yeah.
Yeah, so there's been some changes. I think similarly to Pas de Trois, it's gotten a little bit sadder.
No, fair.
Apologies in advance.
I guess it is one thing to see things like written on paper or like in your head and then seeing it staged with, I suppose, like real life people with emotions attached to it, you know? But so you said you were a part of a Fringe show before, not as an actor, as a technician, did you say?
Yeah.
What, a lighting technician?
Yeah, I did lighting and sound at the same time.
Right. Okay, sick. Have you guys done anything other than, like, acting? Like, have you pursued the arts beyond the stage?
I've mainly been on the stage. I was in a fringe show last season. I was dancing for my friend Tama Anthony Wiggum's comedy show, but I ended up in hospital after the first night.
It was crazy.
It was a horrible story. But
you can tell. I mean, if you're comfortable, but I'm curious.
It was basically just like, it was just not very good, basically. I was feeling like unwell the night before, and I was like, oh, I should be fine. I was dancing as a stripper as well.
So it was all
just like, it was very different to what I usually do.
Dancing as a stripper, as you do.
Yeah, so I thought Thursday. I thought it was just related to that because I was like, oh, I'm just feeling a little bit like strange and like maybe I'm just out of my comfort zone. I ended up in A&E, so it was not very good.
Goodness gracious, girl.
I know.
I'm glad you're okay, but what the freak?
But that was really fun. I loved that, like, dancing was fun. I grew up doing a lot of dancing, so that was cool. But I've never really been behind the scenes of a show, like, even in the crew. I haven't really done that. But
I mean, that's fair enough. Yeah. I mean, like, everyone's got their own, like, part to play.
Yeah, totally.
But it's good to hear that you did dancing, though. Do be careful.
Totally. What are you, Megan?
I'm probably behind the stage just as much as I'm on the stage, I think. This is my first Fringe Festival season though, in any capacity. I only saw a couple last year. But if I'm not on stage, I have a varying degrees of things. I have been looking very much into doing lighting design and lighting tech, especially as definitely one of our co-stars, Ella. I've followed in her and Jordan's footsteps. I've been like,
teach me everything, please. Join both of them.
Doing that, I've currently got a backstage internship at the Region, which is really exciting. Yeah.
That's exciting.
First of its kind, so which is very, very exciting. It's why I'm in my steel caps today. So that's been really, really cool. I get to work on a couple of shows and see how it runs backstage and
possibly have some more opportunities
to do lighting. But my major part backstage at the moment has been makeup design and makeup. So I've done... although not through the Fringe, I've done makeup design for shows at the Globe. So I not long did Alice in Wonderland, a pantomime. So designed and did most of the big artistry there. I did Crunchy Silk at the Globe. I technically designed for Patois. I have not long been asked to do an upcoming show that's coming up in Lunchtime Theatre, as well as my own being a face painter. So I'm hoping that I can continue to. Oh, and I interned at the Opera.
That is awesome. You have been a busy bee.
Yeah, I really much enjoy that, funnily enough. My sister is an international hair and makeup artist, and she tried to get me to do it for years, and I was like, no, and now here I am. So,
following in your sister's footsteps. Aww. It always ends up like that.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, God, that is awesome. But, like, really fun to hear, because it seems like everyone in this room has... like talents outside of acting. Not to say like acting isn't great, like acting is fun, but I think it's just really cool because I find that people who are entrenched in the arts are like multi-talented. Like they're not able to just do one thing. Like it's a very, I don't think eclectic is the right word. It's very flexible, yeah. You know, and everything
gets
sort of
boring otherwise.
Yeah, so right. And you know, people who do the arts is probably the most like people who hate stability, I think.
What's stability?
How do you spell that? Can I eat it?
Can I put that in a sentence?
Work-life balance, what?
Who said that? Oh, God. No, it's actually so fun. Speaking of chaos, though, how has rehearsals been? Like, I'd imagine there'd be some pretty fun stories to tell.
Most of ours are unacceptable for the radio.
Not appropriate story.
You know what? I believe that. I've spent a lot of time with you guys as a cast, part of toi, and I believe
that. Sorry. Oh, dear.
You can lost it.
Okay, how do I explain this simply for those who are not as familiar? It's you guys are a lot of fun. You guys are a riot backstage. But you know, I feel like if there was a sensor, like you know, the TV sensor going off, like then it would go off every 5 seconds. Yeah, like.
I think you can totally interrupt this, but I think with us three, we love each other a hell of a lot now. Like, since we first started, you know, it was always a bit awkward at first, so we didn't know each other. And but then now, like, I really do think we love each other so much. And it gets to the point that, like, you know, it's hard to keep us on track.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
But I think there's also, like, the beautiful part of it, like, just watching our relationship grow since we first started. To what it is now, it's just, honestly, it's beautiful. It means that rehearsals are not just rehearsals. They can be quite moving experiences in, like, a least cliche way. Like, it literally is. We've gone through so much trauma within ourselves during these rehearsals, so I think it'd be really cool.
Okay, that's nice.
As well, because the content of the play is quite heavy at times, Jordan made a really special effort to ensure that we're, like, rolling in and rolling out properly, and a big part of that was making sure that we're feeling safe and comfortable as actors in this space. And because we're dealing with such strong themes, us as people have also gotten really close, because you need to, because you need to feel safe when you're performing. So yeah,
I love that. Yeah, that is probably the number one priority. Yes, we want to make a good show, we want to make people laugh or smile or whatever, but the most important thing is your comfort and your safety. And I'm glad that everything is, like, going on as above board, and, you know, not that I would expect anything less of, like, Jordan or anyone in
Alan
Hall.
Your chance to expose her.
Jordan, if you're listening to this right now. No, I'm kidding. I love you.
We love you,
Jordan. We love you. How much is she paying you?
So, Caitlin, what are your stories? Because I feel like I know of you. Look, here's the thing. I know Robert personally.
Yeah.
So.
And so you probably can guess. No, things have...
The silence.
Let me collect my thoughts here. I don't want to expose Robert too much.
Nah, we love you, Robert.
No, he's a great actor and he's really fun to work with. And I think, you know, you could ask Eli, we've had a little bit of trouble with giggles in the middle of rehearsals, which is really difficult when you're supposed to be having an emotional confrontation with your brother beyond the grave. But I think I really agree with what you guys are saying about having a safe place to come back to. So the fact that our rehearsal room is so filled with, like, laughter and friendship and joy, it means that we can go to those more emotional places and know that there's quite a nice safe space to return to. And, like, yeah, I've really been appreciating that this time round. I'm like, oh, we're all buddies now.
Best friends. Sorry, I didn't mention this before, but you mentioned Alex Gordy wrote the play. It's directed by Eli Graham. Of course, you, Caitlin, are in it. Caitlin Proctor, I totally know your last name.
Yeah.
It's definitely not written in front of me. Caitlin Proctor, you're in it. Robert Shand is in it. And Daniel Cromer.
Yeah.
Which will hopefully be popping by later today.
Yeah, I think he's just running a little late.
Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. University, busy, busy bee.
Busy,
life.
He's a busy bee.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone in this room is, to be fair.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything, like, this question goes out for all of you, but was there anything unexpected that came up within the, whether it was in the rehearsal process or, like, the brainstorming stages, even during your holidays, that made you realize that, like, this is something different or something new that I can bring it to the character or to the stage?
Oof. I think, I'm not sure how much I speak for you guys would agree on this, because we're coming back to this a second time. Obviously, this time we have a chance to, like, go beneath the surface.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, these characters, they become your own, right? You make them your own. You flesh out this background, because it helps to give you context that then, you know, informs your acting. And I think what's been beautiful for me personally is because... No, the Pas de Trois itself, like Grace has said, like, there is some darker themes to it, which I think they are handled in a really beautiful way, though. And it's been really cathartic. Oh my gosh, very healing. There we go.
Right. No, fair enough. No,
to myself.
The first time I said facade, I said facade. So.
Yeah. So that's been. that's been really impactful on myself. And I think now being able to go back below the surface and developing the relationships has meant that there's a lot more substance this time.
Mm-hmm.
We are now able to better inform. I love this collective. That was great.
It's like words, so deep.
No, so genuinely,
it is so deep. Yeah.
So true.
But like, I think those discoveries have really truly informed, you know, that.
Mm.
I say that, and then one of my lines are like, essentially, we're a threesome. So come, make sure you come and find out what that's like.
What that's
about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You have to come and see.
Sorry, I had to like double take. I was just like, did I hear that right?
But no. You did.
Again, I don't know why I'm surprised.
But this is legitimately one of my lines. You'll have to come and find out why.
Yeah. Do you guys have any trigger warnings for your show or anything that people should be aware of? Because I know both of them are kind of heavy.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. So obviously there's a trigger warning for discussions of grief and a little bit of child loss with the character Brian. There's a little bit of swearing and strong language.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think that covers it.
All right. Yeah. Mm. Easy peasy.
Yes, yeah, we have a strong language warning. And we also touch on sexual assault, which is probably good for people to know.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's dealt with, yeah.
Yeah, very, very beautifully. Like, I would really want to point it out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it is approached in such a sensitive, like, it's confronting, very, very confronting. Yeah. There's pretty visceral images, as in physicalities, that are there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good for people to know because I truly think it's done in a really beautiful way.
Yeah.
Right. And really sensitive and thoughtful.
Correct me if I'm wrong, it's heavily alluded to and implied rather than explicitly said.
Yes. And shown. Yeah. None of that. Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to lie. Like, because, fun fact for you guys who didn't know, I designed the lighting for Pas de Trois. And I
love you. It's a beautiful lighting.
Yay! Yes. Sorry, what? Sorry, I don't care.
Whatever.
No. No, that means a lot. Thank you.
Honestly, it's beautiful. When we first got in that lighting space, I'm sure you can agree, we were like, ho, ho, ho.
Oh,
it just changed so much and brought it all
so
much together.
So much. Yeah,
and it's so truth. Much. It's not just saying that too. Like, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Thank you. But I had a lot of fun designing the lights for this show because there was so much. Like, I remember going into the rehearsal for to watch you guys perform the first time. And it just happened to be quite like a heavy scene. And I was just, I remember like having like a lightning bolt idea and I was like scribbling for the rest of the rehearsal because you guys just gave me so much. Because the script is one thing and I'm like, okay, so the director wants me to do this. Yeah, I can work with that. But then your physicality, your voices, your tone, everything was like, oh, actually, this would be a better idea instead. And this would suit your complexion instead. And with Adeline's Cottage, while I didn't have a chance to watch you guys in the rehearsal period, watching it like come together as like as a final product and being like, ooh, how did they do that? Like genuinely.
Magic.
No, it felt like magic at times. Well, especially that one moment, which I won't say, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Like genuinely I'm like, how did they do that? I'm such a nerd, guys. Like,
well, that's great to hear. I think that's a big part of what we want to happen on stage because there is a supernatural element and we have a really strong design team. Not just saying that because I'm a part of it this time around. but we've been – what am I saying here?
It was like a group effort, like
exactly.
From everyone.
Yeah, no,
awesome. Word.
Words. Yeah.
That's my, like, newest, like, vocal stem. Like, I can't stop saying it. Anyway, sorry, guys. I get distracted so much. But, so it's about time for us to have our halftime break. So just a reminder for those of you who, you know, caught in a bit late, we have Caitlin, Megan, and... Oh, Krabby Patties. Grace. Caitlin, Megan, and Grace.
Krabby Patties.
Your face is like covered. I'm like, wait.
I'm just this like imaginary prison.
You're a voice in my head.
Yeah.
Literally right now. Anyway, yeah, so we've got Caitlin, Megan, and Grace with us today. And then we'll see you guys in a wee minute. Enjoy.
It's fun.
And welcome back, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that Chapel Roan song that we definitely chose. That was definitely, definitely prepared. Because you guys know me. I am the queen of preparedness all the time.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Again, thank you guys so much for listening in and tuning in. I know 1 hour episodes can be quite long, but we have really good news, guys. I said it so it happened because I'm a genius. Daniel is here to join us today. Daniel, hello.
Hello, pleasure to be here.
Yay! So, you're a part of Adeline's Cottage. And what character do you play?
I play the role of Brian.
Brian, and who is, if you're allowed to say, who is Brian to Adeline and Henry? Is he just a guy?
Just a guy.
Relevant to the other two, you know, they're brother and sister, but he's sort of the odd one out that's sort of introduced a little bit later. He knew Adeline first when she came to visit Adeline's cottage. And so he, like, struck up a friendship with her at first, and later on he also meets Henry by extension.
Right. There's, like, a lot of mystery surrounding this play. And you mentioned, Caitlin, briefly about, like, sort of, like, supernatural-ish elements,
yeah,
which I'm, like, sort of excited, very, very excited to see, actually. Okay, I want a word from each of you, starting with Adeline's Cottage and then Pas de Trois, to best describe your character. So first say the name of your character and then one word to say it, to describe them best. I won't pick on anyone unless someone has an idea first. But in the meantime, I'll keep yapping. But don't make me yap for too long, guys. I can't yap that long, guys.
I think if I were to, for me playing the role of Brian, if I were to summarize him up in one word, it would be grieving.
Ooh. Which
I think could also be the case for the other characters, but Brian in particular, he has a little bit of backstory. So he's got his own luggage that isn't really unpacked because it's more about Henry and Adeline's relationship. Mm-hmm, but, you know, right. Brian sort of vicariously helps Henry out.
I might, for Adeline, say, it's going to sound kind of obvious, but I would say ghost. Just because I feel like there's a huge switch in who Adeline is after she dies, I think, and also to do with her relationship with Henry, which is obviously quite a big part of the play.
Right.
So, yeah, I would go ghost.
Nice. Okay, so we've got grieving and ghost for Adeline's Cottage. So if any of you guys are tuning in late, that gives you a good vibe on what Adeline's Cottage is sort of about.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, actually.
All right. Grace and Megan, who would like to go first for Pas de Trois?
I would describe Sylvie as being conflicted.
Oh.
She's very conflicted.
That's such a good word. Yeah. It's so good.
I realize I never even said who I'm playing. Please. I'm playing Colette. And I would say hungry.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. And, like, I think in a very multi-layered way.
I was going to say, that is very multifaceted.
Yeah.
And if you know, you know, guys. If you want to know, then come along, obviously.
Just have to be there.
Yeah, you just gotta. But because there's, like, something, because, okay, with, how do I get words out of my mouth right now? but with theater, there's, like, obviously it's the modern age. We can sort of watch things on TV now because things are recorded. But there's a certain magic of watching it live. There's, like, a sense of shared emotional experience that can only happen when you're in the room with the actors and with your fellow viewers. Mm-hmm. And you guys are free to agree or disagree with me on that. Yeah, and I know particularly with Pas de Trois, I know you guys are trying to push for accessibility. Could you explain to me, like, how, and to us, like, how you guys go about trying to do that?
I think with accessibility is difficult in theatre, and it's something that there's a really, really big push on at the moment across the board. It's never going to be perfect. It's going to take a very long time, and there are going to be plays and experiences that are not going to be accessibility friendly, and we have to just be realistic and understand that that is the case. But in its smallest scale, I think, you know, besides in terms of physical accessibility and helping, you know, people actually get there, I think, so for me personally, I'm a deaf actor. I'm deaf and hard of hearing. Is it slowly starting to, so for me, incorporating little Easter eggs for those people who are also deaf or hard of hearing or may know sign language. So I don't really want to dive too much into that because it's really, I think, really beautiful what's been created. But, you know, it's just being able to be open enough to open ourselves up within the theatre world to, like, adapt.
No, like, that's fantastic.
Whether it comes to things of, like, providing transcripts or, you know, there's a touch. I think we all have... Do you have a touch?
We have touch tours.
Tours before the show starts. So I think that's a massive, massive accomplishment as well, to be able to give people that, you know, sensory experience before they come and sit down so they're not overwhelmed, because there's a lot going on. There's lots of sound, there's lots of lights, and making sure that those content warnings are very visible. Yeah, I really hope that makes sense.
No,
I'm not entirely
sure. That's awesome, genuinely, because it might feel like small changes now, but, I mean, that's how the world changes, right, by one show at a time, and that's exactly what you guys are doing. So, fantastic. That is genuinely awesome. Hear that, guys. If anyone is interested in, you know, making the world a better place.
Yeah.
I know, I'm a little bit of a singer myself, actually. No, I'm not. I'm really not. Okay, so I have a question for you guys that I think will also take a little bit of thinking, so I apologize, because my brain is dead today. But it's, so obviously you guys are doing the show yourself with the help of Jordan Wishman, who is producing it, but it is separate from the university, which is different from what you guys did during your workshop days. Could you guys explain to me, one of you, or all of you one at a time, easy, could you guys explain to me how that process is different? Like, is it more freeing or is it terrifying? A bit of both?
I would admit to a little bit of terror in terms of the process, but it is also really exciting. Yeah. I think at first it makes you feel a bit more like a professional, and I think having Jordan there, not to just constantly sing her praises, but I think she's a very big mentor in this process, because it's really scary trying to get theatre on its feet without, like, the safety net that is lunchtime theatre or the university itself. And I think this has been a really exciting opportunity for everyone involved, in my opinion, not to speak for everyone involved, but
we agree, it's fine.
Phew. To, like, have a little bit more of a professional experience and really have to take the work seriously, there's no teacher there who's going to, you know, tell you off if you don't come to rehearsals or you're not getting your work done in time. I mean, Eli will probably yell at you, but they're short. So.
You heard it here first. Eli is short.
If I can jump in on that, you literally triggered. It's like, I think one of the biggest differences is that a lot of us are now not being graded. I know the actors are not, but our technicians, our crew on all three of these shows, when they were originally put on, it was their assessment. Like, it was your assessment.
Yes, it was.
Exactly. And so
it was scary.
This time, it's scary, right? It's scary. that, you know, it's a different process now, because you're not being overly cautious of a crew there, and, you know, they've got roles to play and fill themselves. And so this time around, it's not that same. Like, we're able to go a bit further on some aspects because we're not, sounds sad to say limited, it's not exactly the right word to be using, but it is that truth of that we now can kind of, in a sense, do what we like. And I think the cool thing is, I'm pretty sure, I'm not entirely sure, you'll have to correct me, Dan or Caitlin, about this, but, like, we have returning crew from the Lunchtime Theatre, from their paper, when they did an assessment, they're actually returning to crew and tech for us, which I think is really cool.
OG cast, OG crew. Well, how is that for Adeline's Cottage? Do you guys have the same people or mishmash?
We have a little bit of a mishmash.
Sweet, yeah.
But yeah, I think everyone involved is or was a student. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really great opportunity to just get your foot in the door of working professionally and
yeah, no, what for that sure, kind of means. Sure. Yeah. Because you guys are officially, like once you guys debut in Fringe, you guys are officially paid actors. You guys yes. are no longer
oh my God, yeah.
students.
Whoa.
Yeah, yes. Like you guys are no longer amateur actors or anything. Like, and I think that is something to be proud of and to let that sit with you. So if someone asks, oh, so what do you do with for a living? I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Actually.
Get paid once.
Hey. Shh. No, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about it.
I think the fact also that we didn't have to change any member of the cast, I think, made the whole process a lot easier. Because right, that's just a whole yeah. – it's a whole extra effort of having to get another person in. But the fact that we all carried ourselves over mm. did streamline the process a bunch.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And we already had – oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
We already had those, like, bonds between us that meant that we could work together fairly easily, I think, this time around.
It's very sure. easy for the energy and the flow to come back once we develop a rhythm, and then all of the lines and the processes and chemistry from last time around eventually come back again, because right. it's just a matter, because the embers are already there, it's just a matter of just hitting the spark again.
Whoa, that's our resident Ooh. Author right there.
What, have you written a book or something?
Oh, yeah.
Dang,
yeah.
What a nerd. No, sorry, yeah. Okay. I say that in a room filled with theater kids.
What?
Did you want to say something, Grace?
Yeah, I was going to say I had quite a different experience coming into this because I'm not through the performing arts school at all, so I'm not studying theater. I grew up doing a lot of theater, and same with films and things, but it's always, for me, been like an out-of-uni thing, right. And so a big reason about like why I joined Lunchtime Theatre initially was because I was really missing live theatre and being on stage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's been really cool coming into that space of learning, and then all of a sudden seeing, like, because people were getting assessed on our show, it was really cool to see the inner workings and feel like you're part of the performing arts school, yeah. even though I haven't had the opportunity to be part of it throughout my time at university. So it's been really cool in that sense.
No, that is genuinely cool. Like,
she's a law student, by the way.
I'm a law student. Ooh, I sure am.
So loves property law.
Okay, actually, that isn't fair, Grace. What do you mean that you've got, like, a big girl job and you are super, super amazing at acting? That's not fair. I can only do one of those things. Okay?
It was so hard when I was leaving school because it really felt like I genuinely did consider going into the theatre world, but I really wanted to give law a shot as well, and I'm really glad that I did, because I think now it's really special because it means performance for me is something that's, like, very special to me, and I don't need to stress about it in terms of it being my career, so it just gives a very, like, different perspective, I think. But yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. Sorry, I just suddenly got reminded of that one, like, I might be brain rotted, but like that one TikTok sound that's just like, don't love your job your love, or
something. Yeah.
Which is like so brain rot, but like, anyway. Sorry, I wanted to put that out there.
I love her.
I'm so good at this guy.
Don't move house. House move.
Exactly. Don't come to show. Show come. The show comes to you guys. Sorry, Megan. So this question is for you, Daniel, specifically, because I asked the others this already before. But have you forayed into Fringe before, or, like, you know, is this your first time?
This is my time actively being involved in Fringe, because what was always particularly frustrating is that the first time I would hear about Fringe is when it's already starting.
Oh, yeah.
So it's always, you know, I haven't really gotten any, like, notifications or advertising about auditioning mm-hmm. for things, mm-hmm. which I think is sort of a fatal flaw of the festival itself.
That is actually true. General, yeah. Really struggles with auditions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
But no, this is my first time actively being involved in it, and I'm already, like, super excited. even just the prospect of it being a paid gig as a student. So
no, that is actually
buy tickets so cool. to the show so yes, we can make money.
Where can they buy the tickets to the show, actually? Good segue. You guys are so good at this. You guys have Instagram accounts, I assume, mm-hmm. and it would be in your bio.
LinkedIn bio, yeah.
Your.
I know that what am I saying here? AceProductions.nz on Instagram and just Ace Productions on Facebook. But I know for both shows, you can find us on the digital program at DunedinFringe.nz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. And I know Jordan has been promoting Pada Tua, The Goon Show, and Adeline's mm-hmm. on, I think, the Wish Collective.
Wish Theatre mm-hmm. Collective.
The Wish Theatre Collective Instagram. So you guys definitely check that out. Do you guys know how much the tickets are just for... full transparency for the others.
I think they're $20 and then $10 concession.
Is it? Mm. Right. Hear that, guys?
Better buy tickets, please.
Such a bargain.
Such a bargain. No, genuinely. Like, when it comes to buying tickets for shows like this, it is like an investment, of course. But, like, you know, are we working to survive or are we working to live? You know, like, mm-hmm. We want to have some fun every once in a while. And this theatre is, I think, a part of our culture. And it's genuinely really fun. Like, trust me, bring a friend, enjoy it with somebody you love. Mm. And even if you didn't like it, you know, it was an experience nonetheless.
Then you can talk mean about it on your way home.
Yeah. Be one of those, like, those influencers? Isn't that what they do for a living? Not to hate on influencers. sorry. Okay. So do you guys have any idea on where you guys will be going after Fringe? Like, any plans? Like, are you guys going to continue doing theatre as, like, a full-time thing? Are you guys going to continue studying? Or, yeah, like, what is in your future as actors or as people, just as yourselves?
Most terrifying question ever. I know that Ace Productions, which is, you know, hosting Adeline's Cottage, I think we have plans to continue on after this.
Awesome.
Obviously, they're not 100% confirmed yet, so
it's
I won't get too
TBD
far into them. Yeah,
category.
But we're hoping to do at least one more play before...
Hey, manifest, baby girl. Manifest. Awesome.
For me, I'm always been a long-time kid. I am him. I've been him, and I will continue to be him. Still very much continuing my study right now, which has been super exciting, but also super busy. But I'm also actually currently doing musical theatre Dunedin's production of Sister Act right now.
Oh,
I'm stuck in the middle of rehearsals for that.
Amazing.
But no, I am always rearing at the opportunity to jump into the Dunedin theatre scene, which I think is a lot bigger than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
I think it's currently in the middle of its renaissance. A lot of people seem to have this assumption that theatre in Dunedin is dead just because the Fortune Theatre shut down, which is not true. Mm-hmm. It's still very much thriving. And I think this year's Fringe is a really, really good message of that, that it's very, very strong.
100%.
Mm. I'm going to continue doing law. I'm going to be a property lawyer one day. But
when are you graduating soon, or is it like 2 more years?
I've got 2 more years.
Okay,
and
then
I'm out. So yeah, start being a lawyer. But then I also really want to make a film before I die.
No, fair.
I don't know how that's happening yet. I don't know when that's happening, but it will happen.
Manifest that, baby girl.
Yeah.
I'm currently in my third year of studying a BPA. The future is very foggy. You know, the prospect of starting a family is actually on the horizon.
Exciting.
So in the next, you know, I don't mean like next year, that's
yeah.
really, but you know, like, with my fiance and I, in the next few years is what we'll start looking at, because that's something that we both want.
No, fair, for sure.
So, in terms of the future, I would definitely want to stay involved in theatre, whether it's acting, whether it's makeup design, whether it's lighting, something to do it. I may come back to university, to be honest with you, potentially for a master's or honours, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah.
Because a big thing for me now is what we mentioned before, like pushing accessibility in arts, has become such a major, major part of my like lifeline in terms of all facets of theatre and music and performance, is really trying to push that. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming onto the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Before you guys head off, if you guys wanted to say some final parting words, promote anything you want to, yeah, this is your moment to shine, guys. But before that, real quick, just a reminder. So Adeline's Cottage, starring Caitlin Proctor, Robert Shand, Daniel Cromer, directed by Eli Graham, written by Alex Gordy. And then with Pas de Trois, written by Penelope Hare, directed by Jordan Wishman, starring Megan Barker, Grace Johnston, and Ella Court.
Nailed it.
Got it. Well done. Guys, my memory is ringing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. But yeah, no.
We love you.
I love you too. Okay, this is your time to shine, guys. What would you guys like to say as your final parting words?
I think all eyes are on me. I've actually been on ORFM previously to talk about this when I was raising funds for it, but I have actually self-published an epic fantasy novel that has been published in two halves. You can go ahead and buy it in paperback right now at Real NZ Books, which is done by the copy press in Nelson, so you can get paperbacks there. You can also get it on Amazon as well. The series, because you can't write fantasy and not have it be a series, the series itself is called The Starlight Symphony. But the first book is called The Kindling, so you can find it there on paperback with the copy press. You can also find it on Amazon as well and on MeBooks, which is a New Zealand ebook website as well. And I'm also planning very, very soon to host a book launch event at the University Bookshop, which will be somewhere around 13th or the 20th this month on a Saturday. We'll do a really beautiful evening event.
Amazing. So
we'll keep everyone posted on that.
You're so cool. What the freak? Stop right now. Save some talent for the rest of us. But you know, whatever.
You don't know the half of it.
Anyone else? Instagrams.
I might give a quick shout out to Lunchtime Theatre.
100%. Yes, come watch our shows.
Yeah, that's where all three of the shows that are in the Steps Beyond season came from. And it's people are always asking me, like, how do I find out what plays are on? And I just say, go to Lunchtime Theatre. It's on every week, starting on whichever week it starts on. Thursday and Fridays at lunchtime.
Starting around April, I believe.
Yeah, starting around April. And, yeah, it's a really, really great program. And there's a lot of, like, original works, new directors, new actors. Yeah, so.
And, like, you do genuinely, like, find a future or a love through these programs. Yeah. You don't have to take the courses as Grace had, like, previously mentioned, because it's through this that, I mean, like, for example, I think four of the Fringe shows this year is coming from Lunchtime Theatre.
Yeah,
so it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I just want to say, like, all three of us auditioned for Lunchtime Theatre, so, like, go us.
Yeah, well done.
I quickly want to mention a couple of things, if that's okay. So, yes, please buy tickets. Come support our shows. I would like to... My fiancé Jared and I, we are a duo performing 40s, 50s and 60s music. So we're on Facebook called Megan and Jared Old World Radio. And so we're hoping to get ourselves out around Dunedin soon and get ourselves out there. Yeah, we love performing because we met through Elvis. So, yeah.
Wow, so
although not everyone loves him, that's okay. But that's how we met. So we're hoping to get some gigs out there and we would love your support. As well as my other musical endeavor, band called Acacial Drift, which we can find on Instagram. We're more of a pop punk rock situation. So it's a completely different end of the spectrum. Because I love doing that. Mm-hmm. Come support some live music as well. Love Dunedin music because we need some more of that.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Megan. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much again, guys, for coming on. I really appreciate it. It's always a good shout to have some friends over. But yeah, I hope this isn't the last time I see or hear your voices. Like, it would be good to have you guys onto the show again.
I'll be in your dreams.
Oh, sorry. Promise?
No, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Oh God, this is the perfect place to end it. Thank you guys so much. Please boycott Coca-Cola, McDonald's, and Starbucks, and Free Palestine. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Ama Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.